Reza Bloomer with Interplant joins us on Stonk Talk.
Yes.
And, you know,
thanks for having me.
You bet. We've talked a lot about Interplant. As a matter of fact, we've done a Stonk Talk episode with y'all in early in when we got started. And, of course, we were talking with Colin Steen and Scott Sanders today, and we ended up bringing up Interplant because of the innovations that y'all are doing specifically. But Reza, I mean, you've been around Interplant now for a while, and I know that y'all have a conference coming up on January 24th in Atlanta, and I'm going to come down there and see y'all during that conference. Talk to us a little bit about Crop Voice. I mean, this is a big innovation. Mm-hmm. It's something that really excited for our independent seed companies to know about. And what you know, one of the things that's really cool here is y'all also have a lot of farmer involvement, which when you're seeing farmers investing in a company, it's kind of unique and on the boards and really help guiding as advisors. It's a different animal. So talk to us a little bit about Crop Voice and what's going on at Interplant.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So maybe I'll back up and talk a little bit more about, to your point, the farmer involvement we've had. So okay. I've been with the company for just coming up on 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And as I was starting to share, one of the first endeavors was creating what we call Inner Circle, which is a farmer advisory network today comprised of roughly 100 producers across 10 states. Average farm size is about 5,000 acres. What's really exciting about that program is these folks, not only to your point, have invested in the company, we do a pretty good job of convening them. As you guys know, here at IPSA, that annual gathering is really important from mm-hmm. a community standpoint. And so that's what the conference in Atlanta is going to be. But more than anything, Inner Circle has really just been an opportunity for everyone at Interplant to learn about what the technology is going to mean at the farm gate, how it's going to get used to change management decisions. And so it's been really special for us to be working with these farmers, to give them a seat at the table in shaping what the future of seed technology looks like, which I think doesn't ordinarily happen, right?
Yeah.
It typically, what you see is 10 plus years of development, then come the magic beans. And of course, you know, farmers see a lot of value from that, but you know, the opportunity to really have a voice in the product development and how we build out the marketplace and our ecosystem of partners has been really special, and we really get a lot of joy out of those conversations and the collaboration that we have with those farmers. So
yeah.
So maybe we'll use a different term rather than magic beans, the cool beans, because magic beans got Jack in a lot of trouble. You know, Jack and the Beanstalk, magic beans, yeah. All of a sudden they're giants roaming the earth. It's bad deal. But yeah, so from the cool bean standpoint, I was really intrigued, and I'm gonna back up a little bit to talk a little bit about the Interplant story, because
sure.
Really intrigued in the initial stages. Did not realize that Interplant was introducing a biotechnology trait into soybeans, as an example. Because it normally takes so long to get anything biotechnology done. But now, as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. because this is really cool stuff, it's fish DNA, and it is approved, deregulated, ready to go. It doesn't have to go through an EPA registration, and it creates phosphorescence when plants are under stress. Have I got all of that right?
Very close.
Okay, very close.
So effectively, it's a GMO trait.
Right.
Effectively, what the trait enables crops to do is create a fluorescent optical signal when they're stressed. So we've got access to a protein library. These are all different colors, in many cases derived from nature, invertebrates.
Gotcha.
To your point.
So not necessarily fish, but invertebrates. Okay,
yep.
Got it.
Now there's newer proteins that we can insert into the genome that are synthetically derived. These fluorescent proteins have been used for decades in a number of scientific disciplines. Neuroscience as a marker, for example, mm-hmm. When surgeons are going in to mess with the brain. Breeders have used these fluorescent markers for all sorts of phenotyping purposes or as a marker through the breeding pipeline. I guess the innovation here was not necessarily the biotechnology and figuring out how to insert these fluorescent proteins into the genome. The breakthrough was seeing these signals in broad daylight in real commercial fields, right?
Yeah.
So now what the biotechnology unlocks for the farmer, and as we all know, GMO traits have incredible adoption rates, and that's in most cases because of the ease of use. But what we unlock is, hey, now plant seeds as you ordinarily would, and the value of that fluorescent data, which has traditionally been resorted to really controlled environments, expensive equipment in a lab, is now translated to commercial fields where you can see this stress in broad daylight from as far away as satellites.
Hence Crop Voice. You're enabling the plant to actually say, hey, I'm stressed out.
That's right.
This is what I need.
And those signals turn on within hours, right? So the value is we're detecting that fluorescence, that stress, be it an abiotic or biotic stress, weeks before you might otherwise see it. Walk in fields with traditional imagery, other scouting tools, right? So it's all about that early detection.
And that early detection is going to stop it from being yield limiting. Because
that's
if
right.
you can take action early before it gets to be a problem, then you can secure your yield.
That's right.
Yeah, this is incredible.
It insane that y'all can do that. Like, it just, I just love talking about this kind of stuff with our folks because, again, this is something that obviously our audience needs to know, but just the innovation that people have, you know, to think like, hey, let's put this in a plant and let it light up so we can see that it's uncomfortable. Like, well, that's amazing.
So for me, Interplant brings the exact thing that we want the independent seed companies to be aware of highly and understand and know, which is innovation in a way that they can be a part of, take advantage mm-hmm. of. And, of course, we're very selfish. We want the independents to be able to take advantage of everything that they can to sustain their business, build their business, and also differentiate their business. Mm-hmm. And y'all exemplify that opportunity.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the reasons that we wanted to be sure and have y'all featured as our innovation showcase, because it is an important thing. And y'all been here for a few years. I think you first came to our conference in Indianapolis in 2022.
That's right.
Yeah,
and, fourth year.
That's right, fourth year. Carl Peterson, I see him standing right over there talking away, did the first introduction of y'all here. And I'm certainly glad y'all have become
Carl
a part
had,
of
it. So Peterson Farm Seeds, just west of Fargo, had a 40-acre plot of our cool beans this summer. and it was one of three fields that we put out for satellite detection R&D.
Mm-hmm.
And it still, to this day, having been with the company for almost 5 years, blows my mind that this invisible to the naked eye fluorescent protein that's inserted into the genome of individual soybean crops, we can see from space.
That's cool.
And we did that.
It
up
is
at
mind-blowing.
His farm, so,
you're right.
Yeah. So y'all have set, now, I recall that y'all had a plan to put satellites up. Is that still part of the plan?
We partner.
You partner.
So okay. We have worked with both private and public entities. There's an imager on the International Space Station that we're pulling imagery from. We've also partnered with Planet Labs and Satellogic, private companies that are launching microsats. But what we've learned is that space, no pun intended, is rapidly evolving, and imagery is not going to be a gating factor for us. So,
so you don't have to have your own satellite with a special spectral unit to be able to see the fluorescence?
There are specifications that we have when we go out and assess which satellites to work with, but it's the post-processing that's the important part. So we,
okay.
So long as we get imagery that matches our specs, the team does its magic. We've got proprietary algorithms to tease out the fluorescence is effectively what we
okay.
do.
Okay.
Yep.
So what that does say to me is there's a lot of opportunity then from a mapping capability or picture capability, image capability, I guess is what I should say. A lot of opportunity there, so it really won't be limiting. It isn't like Interplant's going to launch, you know, 66 satellites and put them in low Earth orbit to be able to catch all this stuff. You're going to be able to utilize other technology.
Being in both the business of biotechnology and launching satellites sounds like a living nightmare.
Living nightmare? No kidding.
It sounds
well, I don't
fake.
Know.
You know, like what?
Well, you know, okay, so I'm older than y'all. Back, you know, a long time ago, the cool thing was going to be the Iridium phone. the Iridium phone.
Don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know you don't. Do Motorola. Motorola was going to launch 66 satellites, put them in low Earth orbit. You're going to have this phone that it could connect in the satellite systems, oh, wow. And that was it.
Yeah.
Which now we can do that from our iPhone.
Yeah, well, kind of. You know, but Iridium never became a thing,
yeah.
You know, but it was kind of cool to talk about. And so now what do you have? You have Elon throwing satellites up, and you can sit there and look at night and say, well, there's all the Starlink line. And there, but, you know, yeah, so I don't know where I was going with that, but it's interesting.
Launching satellites,
you have to call Elon.
Yeah. Every one of these satellites that we pull imagery from goes up on a SpaceX rocket. So
yeah, no kidding.
Tells you something. We think satellite imagery is going to get better and better with our trade out there. No more looking for a signal in the noise. We produce the signal. So it unlocks, I think, a lot of the value that a lot of these satellites can provide.
Yeah.
Existing satellites that are up there in the sky already. But it won't be limited to that, right? That's the first line of defense. That's the best scouting tool. But farmers need to see things to believe it. And I think ground truthing is going to be really important. So be it flying a drone out, walking out in the fields, you now know the northwest corner of field 7 is the field you need to prioritize from a scouting perspective because satellites told you so, right?
Yeah.
So I think the workflows get a lot better. And then I guess the last thing I'll mention is the equipment that's making passes and going through the field, right?
So
Interplant's partnered with John Deere, and where we think the true value gets unlocked is when, you know, the equipment is sensing and acting in real time, particularly for the invisible stressors like a fungal disease.
So is that part of a see and spray type technology?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So think of see and spray evolving beyond just weed management and herbicide applications to now other categories of stress.
Let's face it. One of the things that goes on, and especially in a time when commodity prices are low, farmers have to make decisions about, okay, do I need to make this treatment?
Right.
And fungicides are one of the big ones because so many times, well, do we have this in the area? I'm expecting that we usually get hit with it. Do I need to make in order to get the most benefit, I'm going to have to pre-treat. Am I pre-treating too early? Do I lose effect? I mean, fungicide applications are difficult, and a lot of farmers will either do one or two, I'm not going to treat, or I'm just going to plan to treat. And neither one of those is a great idea. So if you're able to detect it early and say, I need to treat, or there is no detection, I do not need to treat, it's an optimization process that for a return on investment, you're optimizing your inputs and having that knowledge to me to be able to optimize those inputs and make that decision. Return on investment is phenomenal for a farmer. And I think that's one of the ways that I really like where data is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about helping farmers make the decisions they need to make with real data, real reason, and not just saying, oh, I guess I got to spray this, because that's a bad approach.
Everything that we know about disease thresholds and ROI of fungicide applications is based on averages.
Right.
Because we haven't really had the data to understand the movement of pathogens or disease loads in field ever before. Right? So to your point, what a system like this unlocks is early detection, but also more definitive detection.
Exactly.
Of
yes.
disease, right? Maybe I don't need to do that R3 application because disease risk was low. Maybe R3 isn't the right timing. Maybe as opposed to a 3-4 bushel advantage, I pull forward my fungicide application because of the risk of white mold at R1 and I save 10-11 bushels, right? So I think there's a lot of different ways this plays out, but it's really about providing the information. We always say better data is what Interplant wants to focus on, but better data unlocks better tools, better ways to apply those tools. And so that's why we feel really strongly about the ecosystem approach, bringing Deere on board and Syngenta on board, and now thinking through the actual seed distribution and marketing strategy.
Well, better data is something that resonates really well with me. I've often said I don't believe in precision agriculture, and part of the reason I don't is because it was a complete overpromise and underdelivery, as complete as I've ever seen anything in my life. And it was almost like we started collecting data for data's sake without giving any thought to how we were going to apply it and what it really valued the farmers and turned farmers into having to do data input and you know, they have just literally hard drives of data with nothing to do with it. Yep. Now that data is being used in an effective manner. We're bringing better data, right. So we're enabling decisions, and those decisions can matter dramatically on yield and return.
I think the data also enables a lot of these other technologies that have had so much promise to finally deliver, right? Yeah. So you see the convergence of now, hey, imagery from space is better because it has a signal to look for. The sprayers are better because not only can they see and spray weeds, but they in the future might be able to see and spray fungicides, insecticides, various fertility products, right? The seeds, right? We now know that you plant a seed and it's going to unlock all this data that makes the production system holistically so much more better, at least potentially, right?
Sure.
So I think it finally, maybe said another way, unlocks precision and all of the different technologies that have had so much promise for a long time. It brings it all together.
Okay. Well, man, I got to tell you, let's pause there.
Sure.
I want to make sure that, we're sitting here in Indian Wells, California today, January 24th in Atlanta, Interplants Conference, which will be a really exciting deal. Looking forward to actually being there myself. I do want to, before we close, just say, look, we're going to be thinking about you a lot. As we're sitting in Indian Wells today, you are worried about your house and wildfires and right across the mountains, as a matter of fact.
That's
so,
right.
We're going to hope everything goes good. And what I got to tell everybody is you are super calm. In all of this, and I know it's going to be really...
I don't know if he's super calm inside, but
I don't
outside.
Know if you are, but outside you're super calm, yeah. And you're really focused on the business of Interplant, and I think that's very commendable and cool. I know you got a lot of angst going on personally.
I appreciate you bringing that up. You got to be grateful that you're safe, so
yeah,
out here with you guys in good company, learning a lot. My girlfriend and Kat are alongside me, and of course there's a lot of angst and unease leaving the home behind, but couldn't think of a better place to be and people to be with.
Well, so. You will be in our thoughts a ton on this thing. I have to say thank you again, Interplant with Crop Voice, and all that farmer involvement. You're going the right direction in a unique way, and I'm just glad you are, and you're glad you're here, and thank you for being with us at IPSA.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not easy, but grateful to have your support, and looking forward to the next conference.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.